Hello and welcome to this week's podcast with me, Laura Merrilees. Handling issues that arise as a result of employees taking annual leave can be a common problem for employers. For example, dealing with an employee's unauthorised absence, whether that's an employee taking leave when it's been refused in the first place or not returning from authorised leave when expected. It can present some tricky issues. Do you discipline? Do you pay? And in a climate when security measures are heightened, what about the employee who simply can't get back to the UK? Back at the workplace, to what extent is it reasonable to contact an employee when they are supposed to be taking a break from work? Well, with me to discuss these issues is Senior Employment Law Editor Cleo Springer. Okay, Cleo, so if we start with what is probably the most common problem, unauthorised absence.
Well, yes, and as you say, this could be where an employee goes on holiday when they haven't been granted leave in the first place, or where they fail to come back at the end of a period of holiday.
Right, so taking the first example, surely most employees should know that they can't just take leave without permission.
Well, absolutely, and employees will generally understand that there's a procedure for requesting holiday, and employers make clear what their procedure is and that leave must be granted before it can be taken, and most employees will follow this. But you might get the odd case of someone requesting holiday and the employer turns it down, perhaps because it's a particularly busy time of year, or other staff have already been granted leave, but the employee decides to go on holiday anyway.
So is there anything specific that the employer can do to prevent this kind of thing happening?
Well, where the employee indicates that they're going to take the holiday anyway, or previous experience might suggest to the employer that this might happen because they've done it before, the employer could write to them and make clear the consequences of taking unauthorised holiday.
And that being the risk of disciplinary action, presumably.
Well, that's right, yes.
Yeah, but clearly you wouldn't want to do that every time someone's refused leave.
Well, no, I don't think it's going to really help relations with your employees to write to every employee who ever requests leave, which is then refused, to warn them that they're going to be disciplined if they take it. Because obviously that suggests distrust. And if you've never had a reason to think that an employee would take unauthorised absence, that's probably going to be going too far.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you say, instead make it clear in the holiday policy in the first place that permission's needed and that there'll be the risk of disciplinary action if leave is taken without permission.
Well, that's right. And it doesn't then look like that's aimed at anyone in particular, but it still makes the position clear. And of course, if they do take the leave unauthorised, this will be subject to a disciplinary process. Although the employer still needs to investigate the reasons for the absence, but if it was just to go on a holiday, then clearly that's misconduct.
But what if there are other reasons?
Obviously, if there are extenuating circumstances around the annual leave, employers may need to be flexible in granting it in the first place. Having said that, many absences are covered by other provisions, such as time off to care for dependents and the employer's own compassionate leave policy. So situations in which an employee has really no choice but to take annual leave without the employer's permission are likely to be quite rare.
Okay, so moving on to the more common scenario of an employee not coming back from holiday. Again, we're potentially looking at unauthorised absence, and employers can try to limit the risk of this by making it clear in the holiday policy that it be treated exactly as such, so subject to disciplinary action. But it could be genuine, you know, travel problems, sickness. What can an employer do?
Well, it is a difficult problem. It is an unauthorised absence, but there might be a good reason for it, and establishing this can be difficult for employers. The employee might be difficult to communicate with, either deliberately or due to where they are, although nowadays communication is a lot easier. The first thing is to try to establish the reason for not being able to get back. An employee might even know about the delays. You'll remember the widely publicised disruption to air travel due to volcanic ash a few years ago, and you mentioned security issues earlier. So if the employee is using travel problems as a reason for not being able to get back and come to work, the employer should investigate this.
And presumably then how cooperative the employee is being is also going to be a factor.
Well, yes, if the employee makes sure that they do their best to stay in touch, keep you informed of what's going on, then you're likely to be more sympathetic to the situation. Likewise, if they're making every effort to get back by other means.
Okay, but what if the reason for the delayed return isn't genuine, or it's just using a minor problem to delay their return?
Well, this is going to be a disciplinary issue, and potentially it might be gross misconduct for unauthorised absence. And there's two issues, really. One is the unauthorised absence itself, without a good reason, as well as the dishonesty about the reasons themselves. But the employer does need to investigate and follow a fair disciplinary procedure as usual.
Okay, but let's assume for one moment that the reasons are genuine. Presumably it won't then be a disciplinary issue.
That's right.
So in that case, does it have to pay the employee for the extra days off?
Well, the employee is not entitled to extra paid time off. So you could agree with them that they're going to take more paid annual leave out of their annual entitlement, or it might be a period of unpaid leave.
Okay, but what about employees who don't make it back because of illness?
Well, this can be tricky because the employee might be difficult to contact. And what evidence can the employee provide? It's going to be possibly medical evidence from another country. But the employer needs to look into it and shouldn't assume that medical evidence is not genuine just because it's from another country. But the employee can still be required to notify of sickness absence in the same way as normal. Clearly, if the employee is seriously ill and has difficulty doing this, then the employer is going to need to treat this as a mitigating factor in the same way as it normally would.
And how should it treat this absence? Is this now sickness absence?
As long as the employee is notifying the sickness absence in the usual way and providing evidence of the incapacity, then the employer should treat this as sickness absence and pay them as per their sickness policy.
But what if it turns out that the employee wasn't genuinely ill? What should it do then?
Well, as with any other case, the employer is going to have a pretty good reason to believe that sickness absence is not genuine. And evidence in this situation is probably going to be harder to gather than in the normal course of events. But if the employee has not genuinely been ill, this will be a serious disciplinary matter. The process that you go through, particularly applying a consistent approach and not coming to a decision based on assumptions, will be key.
And what if the employer just doesn't hear from the employee at all? They just never come back to work? Does this mean the employee's resigned? What about this idea that an employee can self-dismiss?
Well, this is really a bit of a myth. A resignation needs to be communicated, so an employer can't rely on this. They'll need to investigate, try and contact the employee, the next of kin, emergency contacts, etc., send letters and a warning of the potential disciplinary process. It may ultimately lead to a dismissal in the employee's absence, and obviously, as usual, you offer the right of appeal.
Moving on to a different issue associated with holiday. An employee may have requested and they've been granted leave, they've taken the correct amount of leave, but while they're away, chaos ensues, they've made no arrangements for covering their work, no one knows what's going on, and you know this results in a lot of extra work for other people. Is there anything employees can do to avoid this?
Well, you can make employees aware of the requirement to hand over their work, that they can't just walk away from unfinished things, that, as I say, you need to do a proper handover. It's very much down to how a department is managed, and also accountability and seniority of staff, and the type of work that people are doing. Are there obligations to towards clients and other staff and other departments?
So could it be a disciplinary issue?
Well, if the employee's been negligent in how he or she's left the work, and so it's unfinished without a handover, then it depends a little bit on the implications. Most people aren't going to be able to finish everything that they're working on before they go on holidays. And for some things, there's really no consequence of something being unfinished at this particular point. So it's really a case of taking a view.
And is there anything an employer can do to avoid the situation arising?
Well, it's partly down to the situation being properly managed in advance, but the employer could include a provision in the holiday policy requiring employees to have a proper handover before they go in relation to key projects and work.
And I suppose, of course, problems associated with an employee's absence can be alleviated if an employee stays in touch while they're on holiday. So can an employer require its employees to be contactable if necessary?
Well, holiday is a time for rest and relaxation, isn't it? And this isn't helped by ongoing contact with work, which is quite likely to be counterproductive, really, in the longer term, as the employee doesn't get a proper break. And also in the longer term, they may be more likely to suffer from stress. So it's arguable that an employer is breaching its duty of care if an employee ends up having to work while they're on holiday.
And they might also presumably be breaching their obligations under the working time regulations.
Well, yes, it's worth noting that in the context of a case about sickness absence and holiday entitlement under the Working Time Directive, the European Court of Justice noted that paid annual leave is to enable a worker to rest and to enjoy a period of relaxation and leisure. So arguably, an employer that prevents an employee from taking a period of holiday without interruption from work could be in breach of the rules.
So does that mean no contact ever?
Well, many employees aren't going to mind the odd communication where this can't be avoided, that's going to take them a minute to deal with, and that's going to save their colleagues back at home a lot of time trying to sort out problems, and could be quite important for the business. And I think particularly senior employees might expect to be contacted in the event of a work emergency. But to expect staff to be generally on call or to carry out work tasks while they're on leave could make the employer vulnerable to claims.
And as you say, it could be counterproductive.
That's right. And it's worth mentioning here that in France, the French Parliament is currently looking to introduce a right to disconnect from work emails outside working hours. And we'll obviously update the France Guide on our international section if and when that makes it onto the statute book.
All right, but there's no proposal for the UK on this yet then?
Well, that's right. We've not seen anything in the legislative pipeline for the UK on this. But this problem is likely to become more of an issue as we become ever more connected.
But what about people who keep checking emails? They're catching up with bits of work without the employer actually requiring them to do that. Is there any vulnerability there for an employer?
Well, if there's no obligation to do this and the employer is not expecting the employee to do any work, then it's unlikely that there's any real risk to the employer. Some employees can be a bit guilty of wanting to look indispensable or being unable to not stay connected to everything. On the other hand, if the workload is so heavy that going back to work without having kept on top of work while on holiday means that the employee's not going to be able to cope, then the employer does need to look at that.
So should an employer actually try to stop employees from accessing their emails while they're on holiday?
If an employer becomes aware that someone spends too much time carrying out work while on annual leave, the employer should speak to the employee and suggest that they make the most of their holiday. Ask them to delegate work while they're away so they don't have a big backlog when they get back, and make a record of having this conversation.
Yes, I suppose it's important to have that evidence trail, you know, if it became an issue at a later date.
That's right.
Well, thanks very much, Cleo, for taking us through some tricky issues for employers. We've plenty of material on the site on unauthorised absence, not least a how-to guide on the very subject, including the holiday scenarios we've discussed. And there are also model letters in our policies and documents section. So that brings us to the end of this week's podcast, which you've been listening to with me, Laura Merrilees. We're back again next Friday, but until then, it's goodbye from us.